Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Hello, today I'm sharing a talk with you that I gave a few weeks ago. We were at the fall meeting of the Constitution Party in Denver, Colorado, and my talk was on illegal immigration. With the looming amnesty battle raging in Washington, D.C., it's time for us to think about what we are doing and ask what is fair, what is proper, and what is right for America. Not the lobbyists in America, not the political parties in America, but what will best serve our country as a whole. We owe it to ourselves and our posterity to live within the rules and to find more intelligent and principled ways of governing. I hope you enjoy hearing our show today. If any of you are into your midday energy slump, I'm here to wake you up. Because there's something very energizing about being with like-minded people. And I love all of you. And that's what makes the whole thing special. This is so cool. Anyway, I'm going to talk about illegal immigration and amnesty. This is kind of a very cool subject for all of us because it is something that we're dealing with. So I know the first question is, what is causing illegal immigration? It is the magnets. So what happens every year on the day after Thanksgiving? It's called Black Friday, and the newspapers run ads, and people act crazy. And they get to the stores to get the big bargains, because why? They're going to save a few bucks off of some of their Christmas presents. And every year, it seems like somebody dies because they're getting mauled trying to get in the door, and they get trampled, and then that's the news stories. Well, that's the effect that illegal immigration has had on our country. We have some good stuff going on, and people from other countries think, I want it. So they're willing to break our laws to get into the country. And as long as we're running a special, we're going to encourage that kind of behavior. For those of you who don't know me, I have a retail store, so I have some free market explanations from my direct experience. So we have, what do we give them? What is the special we're offering? We have welfare, and that's a very general term for some very special and cool things we give out. We have education. My husband was living in California when they passed the law that said all the migrant workers' children must now attend public schools. And he remembers how disruptive it was suddenly having this influx of all the migrant worker kids who didn't want to be there, and their parents didn't necessarily want them there, and they weren't here even on the same rules that the rest of us lived under. But we offer public education, and it doesn't stop with high school. We have a lot of cool things for people who want. We've got college deals for everyone. Now, my son brought home a letter. If you don't have kids in public school, you wouldn't know this. But we did an experiment and put him in public school, and it was most astounding seeing the papers he brought home. He's not in public school this year, but day one was the letter on the free lunch program. And it says right on the form, you don't have to be a citizen of the United States to get free lunch. You know, if you qualify, then don't let anything about your status stop you from getting the freebies. So I'm going to give you some statistics because you need to memorize these numbers. If you don't know these, it's easy to learn, but you need to know it. And I'm not saying this to depress you. We can hear plenty of depressing news, and that's not going to help us feel good. But I'm about to give you some statistics that you can recite. In Los Angeles, over 95% of the arrest warrants issued for crime of murder are for illegal aliens. At least 83% of arrest warrants for murder in Phoenix are for illegal aliens. The number climbs to 86% in Albuquerque, and the most wanted list for each of these cities is comprised of at least 75% illegal aliens. More problems, nearly 25% of the California prison population is comprised of illegal aliens. In Arizona, illegal aliens make up over 40% of the prison population. In New Mexico, the number is nearly 50%. So the illegal aliens account for nearly 30% of prison populations nationwide, and the cost to you and me, the taxpayers, is more than $1.6 billion annually. As far as cars go, almost half the drivers stopped in California for traffic violations have no driver's license, insurance, or registration, and 92% of the half are illegal aliens. In Arizona, 63% that are stopped have no license, registration, or insurance, and 97% of those people are illegal aliens. And in New Mexico, their percentages are 66% stopped with no license, insurance, and registration, and a whopping 98% of those are illegal aliens. So the lesson learned is don't get in a car accident over there if you're in one of those states, because if you have an accident with somebody who has no insurance, your chances of getting recompensed is pretty slim. And then finally, I want to tell you about the anchor babies. Almost 400,000 are born every year. Every year. That's like every year. In case you were wondering how many. And these numbers we can memorize and recite. It's really not that complicated. These illegals will not be deported because they're now anchored in the United States through a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment. And a lot of you might know what that says. The 14th Amendment says if you're born in the United States, but when it was written, it was presumed that if your parents were legally here and you were born in the United States. So we have some problems. And I'm not here to depress you. I am here to make you happy. That's why they invited me. So I want to talk about love. 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 What the world needs now is love. Now, I'm not going to make you sing, but it would be kind of fun after lunch if what the world... Okay. Why we are losing the debate is because we need to talk about being loving, and that is a moral issue. The other numbers I gave you are all statistics. That's an intellectual issue. You can't win an intellectual debate without the moral component. But we're having a little bit of trouble because we're having trouble explaining how to integrate being loving with having our rules. So we don't want to just be the party of no, and we want to be the party of let's do things more constitutionally. Let's be principled. Let's do things right. Let's do things in a manner that we can be proud of. And so I wanted to tell you a funny story about my mother. I won't call her, for the sake of protecting her anonymity, I won't tell you who this person is. But it was kind of funny because I own a bookstore and we have 25,000 books. And we sell a book called When Helping Hurts. When Helping Hurts, it talks about how sometimes people trying to do the right thing are misguided and they do the wrong thing, and their love actually backfires and we become enablers and we're not actually helping. Anyway, she asked me if I had that book and she got the title mixed up. She said, When Hurting Helps. Smack. We're not here to hurt people. We're here to love people. We're here to talk about honest, lawful immigration, because actually that is a good thing. In fact, our founding fathers said some very nice things about immigration. Of course, back then we were the welcoming committee. We wanted anybody who had our similar values to join us and build a strong nation. James Madison said, America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts. So what makes immigration nice is we have a lot of fun with our diversity, and we appreciate and love the fact that we have a choice on where to go to eat. You know, they put me in charge of the Social Concerns Committee of Missouri, so we had to figure out, do we want to go out, which restaurant do we want, Mexican, Italian, Oriental? I mean, that's fun, although you wouldn't want to eat, no matter how much you love Italian food, you wouldn't want to have to eat it every single night for the rest of your life. But that's what makes it fun. Theodore Roosevelt himself wrote, every immigrant who comes here should be required within 5 years to learn English or leave the country. So there always was an expectation of assimilation. And assimilation is where they come and they blend in and we all share in the goodness of the best practices of each country. And we go up, we spiral up together and enjoy all the richness that comes. So there are some positive effects of diversity. And one of the points is that no matter what other nations say about the United States, immigration is still the sincerest form of flattery. The fact that people want to come here is good. Did you ever notice that they don't have illegal immigration problems in Siberia or China? You know, you name some of the most harsh and awful countries, and that's not even on their radar screen. So another point, most immigrants who come here legally know more about America than most Americans. They love our country. They appreciate our country. They want our country. They know about our history. They know about our Constitution. They know about what is a republic. You won't find them calling us a democracy. Things like little details like that. So I want to move into the amnesty component of this because I was asked to speak on amnesty as well. Now, how many school teachers do we have in here? I know for a fact we have one. One? Ha! Okay, let me explain the amnesty to you. If Frank got up here and said, we're going to break for lunch in a half hour, and half of you got up and left to go eat lunch early, and then he said, well, okay, I guess we'll just eat lunch now. That's the best way to describe it. We're kind of saying, well, you're not obeying our rules, so we'll change our rules. We're going to change our rules. How can you govern? How can you run a classroom if you let the children define what the rules are going to be? And just because they're not happy doesn't mean that we have to change our rules. The rules still are the rules. So I know this is a very politically astute group of people, and we love being political. So now for the fun part, electoral realities. See, Ann Coulter said this, it must be fun for the liberals to manipulate the Republicans into focusing on hopeless causes. So why don't the Democrats waste their time trying to win votes of gun owners? You know, think about it. The Republicans are making some horrible mistakes in believing they can pass the amnesty and change our immigration rules, especially John McCain, who is the head runner of this. And it really is defying their purpose. We get down to the facts. A lot of people see pictures on the news of all the Hispanics and they think, aha, we need to go after their vote and then we'll win elections, not knowing they only make up 8.4% of the electorate. So let's look at who turned out to vote in 2012, in November. 10% more blacks voted in 2012 compared to 2008, even beating white voters, the usual turnout champions. Eligible black voters turned out at a rate of 66.2% compared to 64% of white eligible voters and only 48% of all eligible Hispanic voters. However, bear in mind, those numbers are based on this. This is who, in the raw numbers, who really came out. There were 98 million whites 18 million blacks and 11 million Hispanics. So, despite what you see on the news, that's how it breaks down. Now, I don't think it matters what your skin color is. What matters is if you vote for the Constitution candidate, yeah. But they're pandering, folks. This is called pandering. They're trying to win votes by changing their principles. And this is how it's working. In the presidential election, immediately after Reagan signed the amnesty bill back in 86, how did that work for him? Well, the Republican share of the Hispanic vote went from 37% down to 30%. That was a landslide election for the GOP. You have the two Bush presidents, and they averaged 32.5% of the Hispanic vote. And they even have Hispanics on their Christmas cards. John McCain, who's made a name for himself as being the Gang of 14 champion, his amnesty proponent, he won only 31% of the vote, and you've got Mitt Romney, who is promoted as being anti-amnesty, and he got 27%, which is actually relatively close. So the Republican Party is climbing all over itself, trying to win slightly more votes from the 8.4% of the electorate by giving them something they don't even want. The Pew Research. Now, I don't want to have any of you worry about if I'm worried about Pew Research. But nevertheless, they are doing a lot, spending a lot of time, energy, and effort, and this is what they found. The Hispanic Center produced several polls showing Hispanics don't care about amnesty. In the poll they did last fall, the Hispanic voters said they cared more about what? Jobs, education, and health care. They care even more about the federal budget deficit than immigration. So why wouldn't they care? Because amnesty is a gift to the employers, not to the employees. When people say the foreigners will do the job that Americans won't do, they're showing they don't understand how free markets work. It's all supply and demand. And I believe that we have some people in this room who understand quite a bit more about economics than the average Joe. But what they're really doing is we're looking at the policy reaction and asking how do we go forward intelligently. So the E-Verify is a government system they've created. And what you got to watch out for that is some of those laws are designed to create a burden on the employer and make the employer go to jail if he hires somebody who's not on the governmental database. But most Latinos really resent having competition to their jobs. So I had to throw in another Ann Coulter quote because she's so caustic the way she says it. She says, maybe the greedy businessmen now running the Republican Party should talk with their Hispanic maids sometime. Ask Juanita if she'd like to have seven new immigrants competing with her opportunity to clean other people's houses so that her wages can be dropped from $20 an hour to $10 an hour. So what are we really doing with ourselves? Are we bringing people here to do the jobs Americans won't do? Because I'll tell you, the free markets naturally balance themselves. If you get paid enough, you'll do whatever it's worth to you. So stopping illegal immigration would mean that wages would have to rise to a level where Americans would want the jobs that are currently taken by illegal aliens, and that's from Joseph Sowell. So how is the Republican Party trying to solve the problem? Okay, they got $6 million. Isn't that fun? Oh, don't you wish, Frank, that they, why don't we spend $6 million? Okay, that was a laugh line. Don't worry, just because you're sitting next to me doesn't mean I'm going to put you on the spot. But the point is, if money were no object, this is what they are doing. The Republicans are spending $6 million to recruit, support, and train 200 first-time candidates who reflect America's full diversity, and over 300 new women to run for office. Now, this is a little bit of a sore spot with me because for 8 years while I was in the legislature, I went to a number of women's events, and it just would gall me every time when the women would get up and say, "We need more women in office. By gum, we need more women." And I was like, "Really? Wait, we need to pre-qualify this, because if you're going to send me more left-wing women, don't waste your time. I got enough problem with them." And really, to give you the math behind that, Missouri had 163 representatives. Of those, 34 were women. Of the 34 women, 9 were Republican. Of the 9 Republican, only 7 were somewhat conservative Republican. So I only had 6 other potential people I could talk to. It's a small group out there. So you can understand, sympathize with me, how bad that would be just to send more women and Hispanics, blindly disregarding what they stand for just for the sake of window dressing for the party. That's what they're doing. That's what you can do with $6 million. So I have a son who works for one of the largest conservative organizations in the country, and he would ask the question, how do we monetize this? How, actually, Peter Gemmel might be asking, how do we monetize this? What is the proper reaction? Or we could even quote Barack Obama, how do we let this crisis not go to waste? Yeah. So here's what we say. Now, I'm just getting these quotes, my friends, are straight from our platform. And I don't want to belabor the point by reading it to you, but it just was so exquisite. You can't, if you've not memorized it, I'm not going to make you memorize it, just read it. And you'll get the beauty and the essence of what the Constitution Party has already established is the right answer. We affirm the integrity of the international borders of the United States and the constitutional authority and duty of the federal government to guard and protect these borders, including the regulation and the numbers and the qualifications of immigrants to the party. We turn off the magnets from the platform, folks. We favor a moratorium on immigration to the United States, except in extreme hardship cases, until the availability of all federal subsidies and assistance be discontinued, and proper security measures, procedures have been instituted to protect against terrorist infiltration. We ask the sponsors to pay up. Sponsors, folks, sponsors, I tell you. We also insist that every individual, group, and private agency which requests the admission of an immigrant to the U.S., hey, pay for them. Pay for them. Bring them here. You pay, not us. Pretty simple. We show some discernment. The Constitution Party demands that the federal government restore immigration policies based on the practice that potential immigrants will be disqualified from admission to the United States if on the grounds of health, criminality, morals, or financial dependence, they would impose an improper burden on the United States. So this is pretty cool. We just say we oppose the provision of welfare subsidies and other taxpayer-supported benefits to illegal aliens. We reject the practice of bestowing U.S. citizenship on children born to the illegal aliens in this country. And finally, we encourage assimilation. Assimilation is such a beautiful thing. It's saying that I love you no matter where you come from. You just like blend in, adopt our values, become an American. Don't call yourself by your former country. Call yourself an American. That's not too much to ask. Speak our language, learn our laws, blend into our neighborhood, abide by our rules, learn the Constitution, and let's all get along. That we, if we're all principled and have character, because that's what many of the earlier immigrants had, was character. And that made it work well. It's a picture of Ellis Island. See, when we had that, we had a lot of people coming here, but we loved them and they loved us. My dad went to school in Dearborn, Michigan, and about half the kids were kids of legal immigrants. They worked hard. They knew they needed money. They earned money. They spent money. They liked our country because we were the home of the free, and we gave them opportunities. We didn't give them freebies. What we gave them was an opportunity. But when you got to Ellis Island, this is what they said. We had rules. This is just a picture of the manifest list from my own grandfather when he got to Ellis Island. You can't read it. Don't try. I'm not expecting you to. I just thought it would be nostalgic for you to see that they came. They had to have money in their pockets. They couldn't have tuberculosis or leprosy or communicable diseases. If they did, they were turned back. They had to go home. They were asked questions. This is what they were asked. Who paid for your passage? Have you been in a prison, almshouse, or institution for the care of the insane? See, that would be considered politically incorrect today. But they were asked that. They were asked, are you a polygamist or an anarchist? They were asked, how much money do you have with you? Are you coming to America for a job, and where will you work? What is the condition of your health? What is the Constitution? And all those good questions. So they were demanded to give some accountability. Let me talk to you about my driver's license bill I filed, because it stirred up a great deal of consternation, which was very fun, because it flushed out the bad attitudes and the wrong way of thinking. I took my daughter to get her driver's license, and one of the state highway patrol workers walked up to me and she said, did you know people can take their test in Missouri in 27 different languages? And that's just Missouri. And that should outrage all of us. If you can't even take the test in English, do you really think they should be on our roads? Because if you don't know enough English to take the test, which is not a high standard of English, we're talking about basic English. You have to be able to know stop, go, pull over, turn, put on the brakes, park. That's pretty simple, okay? If you cannot take the test in English, how do you know that you're supposed to have insurance? And it's for their protection as well. If you're in an accident, you could be innocent, but how can you explain what happened if you can't even speak to the police officer who shows up at the accident site? So anyway, this was very fun because at the same time we had this China Hub debate. And for those of you who are familiar with geography, I come from a part of the country where we have the Mississippi River, and we're kind of in the center. I say I'm from the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast of Missouri, Mississippi River, yeah. And so there was a need to bring in airplanes, they said, from China to bring in all the materials that Americans are buying at amazing rates. And that bill came forth at the same time that I said, let's take the driver's license test in English. And one of the oppositions to my bill was people saying, but we want to do the China Hub. What will happen to all those Chinese people if they get to America and they have to now take the driver's license test in English? And we should laugh at the absurdity of it, because that's not helping any of us. That's not helping us or helping them. So the right angle is to say, how is that helping them? Because when you don't require assimilation, you're guaranteeing they'll be on the bottom rung of the ladder. The goal isn't to put them on the bottom and keep them down. The goal is to have them integrate, enjoy us, love us, work together. Let's all make a community. Let's have a common goal and a common theme and a common patriotism, which is a word you don't hear very often today. So the Democrats' way of dealing with this, very fun. Their attitude is this: let's fill the country with illegals because most of them will vote Democrat. And the language barrier will prevent them from being informed when they go to vote. And most of them will come from countries that are far more socialistic than America, so they won't get that something's wrong when they hear us promoting socialistic policies. And then the last thing they do is they try to take the posture of being more loving, the moral argument. So let me tell you about the way the Republicans are handling it, the Republican response. And the best way to describe it was to bring for you today a prop. This is the envelope I got in the mail from the post office. And as you can see, they ripped up my envelope. The stuffing is coming out. The inventory was missing. And they put it in this bag. I'm not going to ask you how many of you have gotten this bag before, but it happens when their automated equipment catches on something in the envelope and it destroys it, and then they put it in a bag. And the bag says this, "We care." Oh, really? If they cared, they would address it to me. And instead it says, "Dear postal customer, we sincerely regret the damage to your mail during handling by the post office. We hope this incident did not inconvenience you. We realize that your mail is important to you and that you have every right to expect it to be delivered in good condition. Although every effort is made to prevent damage to the mail, occasionally this will occur because of the great volume handled and the rapid processing methods which must be employed to ensure the most expeditious distribution possible." Does this sound like the way the Republicans apologize to us for every lousy bill they pass? "We handle such a great volume of bills, we couldn't possibly read them all." And finally it says, "We hope you understand." Okay, the Republicans are asking us to understand. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm angry, okay, so I'm going to try and tone down my emotions here. But this is what we're getting, folks. We're getting it every day. We're getting it with every debate they're having in Washington, D.C. We're getting it every time they're in session and they vote to take away more of our freedoms. And you know, I love the Second Amendment discussion we just heard, but how can any serious person who claims to be an adherent to the Republican Party not be screaming bloody murder at the atrocity that's happening to us? But in the end of the day, we're going to get the shaft, and we're going to get some envelope that says, "We care. Keep voting for us because we're the best thing you've got." I don't think so. It says, "Please accept our apologies." So does that mean I can do any awful thing to you and then I say I'm sorry? Because that's what we're getting, folks. So the Republicans are actually doing us a favor by showing the contrast. And it's happening every day. I'm so sick and tired of getting email and phone calls saying, "You got to call them quick." Why are we being asked to contact our Congress and tell evil people to not be evil? Do you really think the problem is that they don't know? Because you know what? They do know. And I think that if any of you, I know I'm speaking to a very astute group of people, but they know. They know how they're going to vote. They're not changing their minds because we call them. You know what they're really doing is getting your name on a list, because I did this for the 8 years I was in the legislature. So whenever there was a crisis, here's how it works. The people, my constituents, would have contact with me. They'd sign a petition. I would be asked to care about their issue because they're all upset. Where did that petition go? It went to my staff. My staff harvested the email addresses, phone numbers, and names. And then that is used next election cycle for fundraising, for getting them on my newsletter, for getting support, campaign volunteers. That's where you get them from, folks. So I'm just giving you the insider scoop. I knew you'd want to know. Some of you may know, but some of you may not know that they're manipulating us. So moving on, what is our proper response? Well, first we're going to pray for God to give us wisdom because, folks, we are in a mess. And the next thing we need to do as tempting as it would be to go live in a cave, we can't do that. We can't do that. We are here because we're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight every day, every way, with everything in us, as long as we have life and breath in us. We're in it to fight. We're going to fight the bad deeds. We're going to expose what's wrong. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to do it lovingly. Memorize your favorite parts of the platform and recite them to people, because the good news is we have the answers. The Republicans only have this crummy envelope. Another apology, another day, another, ooh, I'm sorry, I was outnumbered, I tried to do the right thing, and all those other Democrats did it to me. Folks, we have 5 months left, 5 months till filing opens for offices. Now, it's hard to run for office, but you got to realize something. This group here is not a think tank. We're a political party. It's time to start acting like a party, and that means we can put candidates on the ballot. We're not here to just inform and educate. Informing and educating is important, but unless we actually strip people of their offices and replace them with better people, we're not making as big of an impact as we could. So if you're not going to run for office, please find somebody else to run for office and help that person. The only strength we have is in communicating. And if we're going to make our message known, let's all work to make the message. Let's all together. If you don't know the words to say, tell them, yeah, whatever Cynthia said, you can trust it's going to be good. So I'm going to give you a closing thought. This is a quote from Thomas Jefferson. And bear in mind, back then they really didn't have a problem with illegal aliens, but what they wanted was people to respect our rule of law. And this is what he said: born in other countries, yet believing you could be happy in this, our laws acknowledge, as they should do, your right to join us in society. And I know you will join us in our established rules, and that's all we're asking for. So thank you for coming today. It's a thrill to be with you again, and hasta la vista.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.